Happy tea Thanksgiving.
Tea Thanksgiving.
I probably should have completely prepared myself a little better before this. Come on. There are certain traditions for tea Thanksgiving that always have to be
observed.
Observed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this one always has to be observed, but I'm going to. I've got my peppermint shot glass.
Mm-hmm. Have I done a tea Thanksgiving?
I think so. 2 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe once. Oh, was it with the one with the role playing, like the really early Tom Hanks, the 1980 one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah.
Fuck, what was
Mazes
that?
And Monsters.
Okay.
Mazes and Monsters.
Yeah.
Yep. That was the first year that we branded it as Tea Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Because we had previously branded it other things. And in our ignorance,
then it became Stanksgiving.
There was an attempt to make it Danksgiving. That never worked for me.
Nobody's heart was in it.
No.
Stoner movies every year? That's not bad.
Well, no. See, the problem I have with the word dank is that, like, I played D&D when I was 11 years old. So dank for me always meant, like, musty dungeon.
Yeah. Sure. Dungeon. Okay.
Like,
okay.
Like, that's the only, like, they were like, oh, dank memes. I was like, what? Okay. They're old? They're smelly? I don't.
Yeah. Are we delving them for loot?
Yeah. Apparently, I'm the one that's old and didn't realize that there was other meanings for it.
I didn't want to be the one to say it, Tony, but...
No, Scott Walker does that for everyone. Every birthday. You're old.
Yeah. Well, he's not wrong.
No. No. In fact, he gets more right every year.
Yeah. That is the unfortunate part.
Yeah. Yeah. So, how is everyone's tea Thanksgiving looking so far this year?
Mine's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's been work. This is my first day feeling good after a couple of weeks of being kind of sick. So I took like a nice little pre-nap before we started. And so actually I'm feeling a nice second wind. So it's pretty good tea Thanksgiving.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Hopefully the animals won't do anything weird.
No, I want them to do something really weird. Really weird. Construct like a small platform behind you slowly over the course of the episode.
Well, this is their wild time of the day, and I'm not sitting where I'm supposed to be sitting. And so, yeah, we've got problems over here.
Rob Hall, look at that.
Okay, where can I see?
If you're
I see.
Yeah.
Oh,
the problem with that thing is you can't reply there. You have to actually have the Facebook page open.
Oh, okay.
And reply on
okay.
It.
Well, I guess
I don't like
we
that.
Can. I couldn't reply there. I don't know if it's just me.
Yeah, I can't.
Actually, you know what? I'm not logged in, although I'm not really sure how that works because I had to authenticate as me.
Yeah, but I think that was different from like logging in and having a whole.
It could be because I'm hosting it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe.
Wah. You know what the most egregious thing this plague has taken from me? I did not get to attend a gay wedding this year.
Right. Yeah. Congratulations, Rob.
Yes.
Yeah. Congratulations, Rob. But also, I'm the real victim here. 250,000 Americans are dead. But,
also,
you know, that takes back seat to the fact that I wasn't given a seat at the gayest table as I requested.
I recall that request. And Becca, all right, so this year for Tea Thanksgiving, so the first year for Tea Thanksgiving, we did Mazes and Monsters, and I kind of thought that the idea would be to pick some of the really cheesy Tom Hanks movies, probably from earlier in his career when we did these things. But 2020 has taken enough from us. So I thought maybe we could do a modern, not the most modern, because he did have another movie that came out, I think only on Apple Plus this year. but I think it's the most modern theatrical release of Tom Hanks's. So we're doing A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Romeo's upset he wasn't invited, but I don't
know. Well, he's here now.
Yeah. But we've come full circle, Tony. Now I have a Holden shouting from off mic. Come on, buddy.
Your loud boy child is yelling from off mic.
Yeah. So I just finished this movie not that long ago, like within the last hour. What's everybody's high level on this?
I enjoyed it.
It gave me a lot of feelings, but I'm not sure what it was doing or if it was successful.
Yes. I don't think it was a good movie.
Okay. What was it not being?
Oh. I did. So here we are.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's nice. We're like evenly distributed.
Yeah.
I guess part of me, I mean, what I did like about it was that it it like has you thinking that this is going to be that it's going to be a biopic, but it winds up being about the story of this relationship. And I'm not sure if I like if it completely like it's such a shitty question to ask, to sort of ask of Mr. Rogers, are you really like this? Is this who you are? Mm-hmm. For real, for real? But it's the question people ask and the way they evade that question. I'm not sure if it was a sucker move or a really wise one.
I don't know. I think it's a valid question because there are people who are very different. Like, so we've had a lot of issues in the past couple of years. We've had discussions on the podcast about it where can you separate the art from the artist? And there are people who make incredible art who are incredibly terrible people. Mm-hmm. Turns out Mr. Rogers is just who he is.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We didn't have go ahead.
Well, and I mean, part of what you could say too is Mr. Rogers isn't Fred Rogers. Mr. Rogers is a character.
Yes.
Fred Rogers is the man, you know. Mm-hmm. And those are two different things. Now, of course, like it matters if we found out he was a serial rapist. That would be pretty rough.
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, we haven't.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if he were, for example, just like not a great dad.
Yeah, which also never has come up.
Yeah.
So
he had a strained relationship with one of his sons.
Which I mean, I feel like means nothing about the kind of parent you are. I mean,
yeah, his son didn't come out and say, yeah, my dad molested me. So his definition of a strained relationship and what our current definition of a strained relationship is probably don't mean the same thing.
Right. Strained relationship doesn't appear to be a euphemism for anything else.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, and also it's understandable when your dad is Mr. Goddamn Rogers.
Yeah, there's an expectation there. What, mm-hmm. what's happening here?
Yeah, exactly. My disappointment with the movie was that, like, at one point when he's talking to Mr. Rogers' wife, he's like, "Well, yes. What's it like living with a saint?" And she's like, "No, don't say that. That's weird, right?" But like, the movie presents him that way in this weird deification, like even. Like, the most weird moment about it, when they're in the restaurant and he's just looking into the camera, like, he's presented in a way that is uncomfortable, and the movie isn't about him, but it's also about him, and it's also, like, just, like, a weird mishmash of, like, multiple stories that don't feel appropriately joined. Tony, you're on mute! Tony, you've been muted! Everybody ask Tony questions.
My headphones like disconnected and now they're reconnecting.
Mm, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your audio is like half a second behind when I'm looking at it, like from your video now.
It's just, you know what? It's
weird.
Somebody say something because I can't tell if I'm connected.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I was reading. Carrie says, that is so fascinating. My ex always said she didn't like him because he seemed like a Como. I don't know what that means. Is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah. That's intriguing, knowing that, because I'm pretty sure I know which ex said that. And that ex dressed just like Mr. Rogers, so intriguing. But I guess that's neither here nor there. Well, I mean, part of what, like, yeah, I mean, like, masculinity.
Child molester. Oh,
I thought you misspelled that. Okay, so I feel like that's a thing, because I have to say, so in watching the movie, I felt some things going off in me, some ding, ding, dings that didn't feel safe, which is interesting because, like, Mr. Rogers has probably been, I don't want to say the safest man I've ever known, but, like, certainly...
personally know him.
We just spent half an hour together every day.
And he did look into your eyes when he talked a lot.
Well, I mean, he feels that way when you're watching the show.
I know.
And so I went and then, like, watched a couple of episodes after. And there was less of that, but it was still ding, ding, ding. And I feel like an important piece of, and I don't know if the writers avoided that on purpose or whatever, but I feel like an important piece of the ethics, especially of Mr. Rogers as a man, is that we don't know how Mr. Rogers responds to being told no or to being really confronted. Because, like, there's all this, like, talk about how he was completely present, but he always set up the nature of that, of the interaction. Like, it was always his structure. And
there's only... Real person or movie person?
In both the film and in his shows.
Okay.
I'm talking Fred Rogers, which he never really steps out of Fred Rogers, except for maybe tiny moments in the movie. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about Fred Rogers, the character. We never see him get, yes, how does he handle not exactly, not being in a position of control? And so we never... see how he responds to being told no. There's one moment where he's a little bit confronted, and that's, like, the big question around, like, ethics in general right now, but especially ethical masculinity, is can you be told no? And we don't know for this guy.
Are you maligning Tom Hanks? Is that what I'm hearing? You think Tom Hanks isn't safe?
No, I felt that way with both of them, like, slightly less with the real Mr. Rogers, but, like, in both situations, when I analyzed it, like, I watched just two or three episodes. I was like, there's even, interestingly enough, I watched his, like giving and thanking. He had a show on giving and thanking, and that was my idea is how good it feels to give, and when someone receives what you want to give them, that... it makes you feel good, and it's like a gift back to you. So the obvious, like, question is what happens when that person doesn't want to receive what you want to give? And that never happens for Mr. Rogers. It happens once in the world of make-believe when and there's this whole, I don't even know if it was problematic. There was a Spanish-speaking fortune cookie.
Sure.
He was the fortune cookie man who gave out fortune cookies. And, and someone wouldn't take his fortune cookies, and he was, like, really upset, and that had to get smoothed out. But we never see Mr. Rogers confronted in that way. He always manages the interaction he wants, which...
Yeah, I don't know about that. I got my headphone situation worked out now, so I can...
contribute again?
Yeah, I can speak and listen.
Oh, Tony wants to speak and listen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go figure.
Oh, let's get the monarchy back. Jesus.
Yeah. So I have a different take on Mr. Rogers, just because I watched it, like, to hear my mom talk about it. Like, I watched it religiously when I was little.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And for me, you know, she'll say that, you know, I had I've never been diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I've got ADHD. They always said I was hyperactive as a child. And my mom used to say that, like, whatever it was about that show and that guy, his voice, it calmed me down. Like, I would just sit and watch and listen. Just the tone of his voice, his timbre, just whatever it was, there was something about it that just was very soothing. And, like, even as Tom Hanks put on the affectation of Fred Rogers, I'm like, ah, you know, just like it fell into that feeling of just, this is comfortable. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, there was a lot of nostalgia.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. At no point am I going to tell you that Tom Hanks didn't rock this.
Oh yeah.
Tom Hanks rocked this.
His whole body. Yeah. He did. And I was skeptical. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen it until now for a reason and was kind of not thrilled. I'm glad I saw it, but I was like, I was going to avoid that movie. But yeah.
For me, this movie has actually been on my DVR for a couple of months. Holden and I were going to watch it, and like I finally was just like, no, we're going to do it for the podcast. So I just watched it. And I'm glad I did.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. Now, I have seen the documentary that Rob mentions earlier. Which is really good. That's a really good documentary.
Yeah, okay. So Tom Hanks apparently read this script 8 years ago, saw that documentary, and then he's like, okay, is it time to do this project now? But like...
No, he said when he walked out of it, he went to the documentary with the director. They're like, mm-hmm. Do we even need to make our movie? Like,
oh, I did not read that right. I thought this was...
Yeah.
Is this the time to do it now?
No, in fact, his, you know, after seeing the documentary, he said, you know, what more do we have to say after seeing the documentary? Because this is not yeah, this is not about Fred Rogers.
Yeah.
It's just not.
It's just not. Which is disappointing to me. I don't like the bait and switch.
I never knew that it was a bait and switch though, because I always knew what it was about. Like, I always knew that it was about this relationship between these two guys.
Uh-huh.
So I don't remember where I saw that. It may have been an article about the movie before it was released in theaters. And it's like, this is not a biopic. It is a movie about the relationship between these two men. One of whom is fictional. Mm-hmm. And the other is Fred Rogers. Because I'm blanking on
the journalist, and I'm trying to remember what his real name is. Yeah.
Lloyd Vogel.
Oh, but in real life, Lloyd Vogel, yeah, his last name was Junod or something.
I think his first name was Junod.
I thought it was Tom Junod.
It is.
Yeah.
Never mind. There we go.
And he wrote the article that is referenced in the movie, at the end of the movie. It even has the same title. Can you say hero?
Mm-hmm.
That is the same article. He wrote that article for Esquire.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else was changed. They changed his name because they made so much of that relationship fictional.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Junod did not have a child at the time. Like there was, I know that was one of the big ones. He didn't have a child at the time, but he said after his interview with him, that convinced him and his wife to actually adopt.
Mm.
So. And they adopted after that.
Sure. I would be, man, that whole dad plot with that guy just was not gripping me at all. I was just in a perpetual state of ungrippedness. Like,
I really liked the dad plot.
Which Chris Cooper was great.
Chris Cooper is always great.
He's pretty much always great.
Yeah.
He's always, I've never seen that guy not be a villain. He always just seems super, he has a villain face. He's a resting villain face.
I enjoyed the story. I didn't feel like they earned the transformation fully. And also the transformation wasn't as much about wasn't as much about the relationship with Fred Rock. To me, it felt like the transformation had as much to do with pushback from his wife as it did with the relationship with Fred Rogers, which, of course, you know, every like change we make is always an amalgam of so many things. But yeah, I felt like I needed a little more there.
Yeah, because even that transfer, like even the relationship with his wife feels weird. Like they roll into the wedding, he gets into a fist fight with his dad, and like his wife is outside and she's like, "You're out of control." Like implying that there's this series of things going on, but like you never see any of it other than him getting into a fist fight with his dad. And then later you're like, oh, like this dude skipped out and left him and his sister to like care for his dying mom. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe if I was a wife, I'd maybe have some seemingly more conflicted feelings about the dad than.
Yeah. I mean,
it was, I don't know. I got that there was little things that were mentioned throughout that, Lloyd, I think is his name, that mm-hmm. Lloyd has been an asshole for a while and seems to be increasing in his assholishness in the recent scope of the story. That there's just some little indications of that. His interview with his publisher editor, it kind of gets mentioned there.
Yeah, but I think also that felt weird too, because like she's like, you know, they don't like what you write about them. I'm an investigative journalist. Like, I'm just doing my job.
But part of being an investigative journalist, especially if you're writing, not necessarily writing political pieces, and it's not about justice. Part of your job is also to like maintain relationships and contacts over time, so you can continue to investigate. And like doing sort of one-sided pannings of everyone to the point where you can't maintain or start new relationships isn't doing your job.
All right, let's have some real talk here. The reason that I don't like this guy is because I identify too much with this guy, because the entire movie he's like, Fred Rogers, good guy. That's bullshit. There are no good people.
The truth comes out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll get into a fist fight with my dad. That's not true. I have a great relationship with my dad.
But just to spite and prove your point.
Yeah.
You'll do it at your non-existent sister's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. He said he'd dry clean the wedding dress. I don't know what more you want from him.
What's stopping you, Lena? Since you want so bad to join us.
Yeah. It can't be the drive. Yeah. That excuse is gone.
Yeah, I drove all the way upstairs.
Yeah, I drove 5 feet away from my bed.
Yep, it's going to be a long drive back downstairs after I keep drinking.
Mm-hmm. My only regret is that I didn't get a fridge for my office, so I'll actually have to get up and refill this drink. But this is this magic cup I bought that, like, it's the vacuum void stuff, so it's like super thermally efficient, so like if I put ice water in here when I go to bed, it's still ice water when I wake up. Oh,
nice.
Love it. Very excited about this cup.
I can't do ice water. Cold water, not ice water.
Well, I mean, you want that vodka cold.
Yeah, that's true.
What else did I want to write about? I've actually considered getting my notebook to take keep the bottle by your couch laptop. I'm actually super paranoid about liquids on this table, so I don't like keeping too many liquids in this room.
Need a little cooler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe part of the problem with having a relationship, a transformative relationship with Fred Rogers, is that he stays Fred Rogers, and the whole like well, but the thing is, the whole character of Fred Rogers, which is why it's so comforting, because I felt the exact same thing, Tony, as a kid, and even now sitting down, it was very mentally organizing to watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the original show. And and I think it's because he's talked about this in his book. I mean, there's that sort of theory of with kids, you want to create a space where they, that is highly routine, but that also like exposes them to novelty and expansion. And so he does that perfectly within the structure of his show. But the kind of person you are with a very small child is by necessity not a whole person. Like, it's a transformative relationship only for a child, you know, who's already like in such a high state of flux. That's not a transformative relationship with an adult. And I'm not sure that you can have that with a Fred Rogers.
Well, there's also the expectation that you're going to treat people differently based on their age. And he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
He doesn't appear to, at least, you know, as the movie presents him.
Yeah, that's my point, because he stays Fred Rogers, which is the the father figure to very small children, to somebody under seven. And yeah, that's who Fred Rogers as a character is. And so
that makes for a frustrating character to deal with in a movie.
Yeah, which...
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because I'm not a child. I don't like being treated like a child. I don't like being sat down in a restaurant and told that we need to take a minute of silence to think about things.
Except that this guy was clearly in a state of arrested development because of what he experienced as a child.
That's a good point.
Like, I think he saw that this guy was still lashing out in childlike ways. And that just being told that, you know, it's okay to be angry, but you need to do something better with that, where everybody else was just saying, stop lashing out.
Yeah.
It's like, it, you know, be angry. That's fine. But do something different with it. And like, I appreciated that we got to see Fred do that twice and in ways that he described in that monologue where, you know, it's like, well, how do you lash out? Swim really fast. Just get in the pool and swim really fast as hard as you can. Or punch clay, or hit all the most bass notes on the piano.
Tony, another thing I disliked about this movie is that Mr. Rogers swam in the nude, and they got that wrong.
Yeah, I saw that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that was part of the IMDb
trivia.
Inaccurate.
I don't think I was ready for that.
That's your dad, nude in a pool, swimming laps.
So, I guess he had his own. I mean, I did like the idea. I did love the message of the idea that being a really good person is a matter of practice.
I and did like that as well.
I loved that part and setting yourself up for it in a very sort of intentional way.
I really like the character of Joanne also.
I would have liked to have seen more of her.
I would too. I would too. I appreciated his wife. Yeah, I appreciated how.
Oh my God! I'm trying.
She knows exactly who he is, and like, no, he's not perfect. Don't say that. He tries really hard to be the person you see. Like that takes work. And just the way she said it, there's a respect there. Like I see the kind of person he is all the time, and I know how hard he works, which means he's not perfect.
Yeah,
and she knows. Yeah. If anybody knows, she knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I appreciate. I'm trying to. So you're using Yardstream to stream to three different platforms,
yeah.
But it combines all of those platforms in the comments.
I know.
So I can only reply to the people on Facebook because that's the only thing I have open.
So I actually have the ability, because I'm the streamer, I can reply to all, or I can reply to just one. It actually gives me the ability to do that.
Tony, what the hell was I going to say about this movie?
I don't know.
Have you seen any of the director's other movies or seen Queen's Gambit at all, which I now want to watch now that I've seen this?
Wait a minute. She directed Queen's Gambit? Oh, shit. That's been on my list to watch since my
brother. Queen's Gambit. Really fun-looking movie called Diary of a Teenage Girl, which I'm very curious how she's going to handle it. I'm trying to remember what else she's done. Something else with Melissa McCartney that looked really, really good. But just the way, just looking at some of the stills from her movies as well as the trailer from Queen's Gambit and looking at this, I think her stuff's beautiful, which I love beautiful. I like beautiful film, regardless of how the plot is.
So I have not seen, I'm looking, anything else that she's, she's also an actress. Let's see. I'm looking at the wrong thing.
Let me look her up again. Mariella.
Yeah, I'm seeing it. For directing, she directed Diary of a Teenage Girl, one episode of the TV series Transparent, two episodes of the TV series Casual, Can You Ever Forgive Me? A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, and What the Constitution Means to Me. So I have not seen anything else that she has directed.
I have seen Casual.
Maybe I've seen Casual. I don't know what that is.
It's a Hulu series about a guy who creates a dating app.
No, I have not seen that.
Okay.
Queen's Gambit has been on my list since I saw the trailer for it. I think the week it came out. I just haven't made time to watch it yet.
My brother is obsessed with chess, and he watched it immediately.
So is it good for chess, or is it...
My understanding is...
But I mean, did your brother feel... Okay, go ahead.
My understanding is that people who are chess people are really, they really appreciate the chess in it. Okay. Someone on my Facebook feed, which I'm blanking on exactly who it is, said that they were a chess instructor for a number of years, and the chess in it was really well done.
God damn, I love chess.
Yeah. And I've heard that it's very difficult to find chess sets right now because of Queen's Gambit. Yeah. There's been a run on chess sets for this holiday season.
Who is playing chess in person?
I don't know.
All you need is one other person, so it's a great game for that in a way, too.
I mean, if you're for your family?
Yeah, if you.
I went to an arts and craft fair like a year and a half, 2 years ago. And what they had was they had like a 64 square like portrait style thing with all these ledges.
Uh-huh.
Right? So it was like vertical. And the thing was like you hung it near one of your doors and you'd play asynchronous chess with people in your family as like you walked out the door, right? You'd make your move on the board.
That's kind of fun. Yeah.
That was really nifty. I was going to buy it for Tony, but it was like $350. And I was like,
cheap ass.
Yeah. I was like,
that's cool.
Yeah. No, it was a really nifty idea. And like, you know, it was an arts and crafts fair. So it was like gorgeously carved and like super, super gorgeous. So.
You can even have that. You can have it in teams for a bigger family, and that's pretty fun.
I've got a nice glass chess set that I got years and years ago. Busted it out a few times.
Yeah, I love chess. The chess club has some great sets at good prices.
Ooh. So that's something we could do. We could watch the Queen's Gambit. We could do. An episode a week and play chess while we're discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
The ability.
I'm pretty sure Anna would like for you to finish Korra so we can discuss it.
I need to finish rewatching Avatar.
Well, you gotta cut down on your busy nightlife.
Yeah.
Stop going to the club, Tony.
So I've been playing Factorio until everybody goes to bed. And
oh, no, Tony, I know. I know.
Yeah, I know. And then I've dusted off Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm. I'm less excited about that.
we get a new big TV, and like one of the things I did when I got the TV was like I needed something just to put on the big screen.
Yeah.
I threw that up on there, and I was like, oh man, I forgot just how pretty this game is and how little I played it after I first got it. So I just kind of have dove back into it. I am enjoying it.
Rob, what are you doing? Finish Cora.
He's busy being a newlywed.
Yeah, but he's newlywed. Ben spoiled it. Don't marry that guy.
Well, too late.
Divorce him.
Cora's too good to spoil.
Oh, now your opinion on spoilers has changed, I see.
No, I've always felt exactly that way. That, like, really good stuff, like, spoiling's irrelevant because it's not about the one moment of how it ends.
Oh, I did not take how you
said that. Oh, sorry. No, I meant in the sense of, yeah, it's too good. Like, you can't spoil it by telling the ending because...
You earn the destination through the journey.
Yeah. And that's with Cora not being as good as... I enjoyed it. I really did like Cora. I'm rewatching it.
The problem with Cora is that it's not Last Airbender.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Dear God.
That
was a mistake I made.
Yeah, because it posts on all three platforms.
All three of them at once.
I mean, unless you're going to start tying all your SSO, that's how you'd end up having to do it. But I am in for a chess tournament for damn sure.
Yeah.
My brother would play, too.
We do still, games by email is still running. That'd be a real low-res way of doing it. I still play Risk there.
Oh my God, still?
Yeah. I'm in like six or so games right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Is this what you're doing so you can't finish Cora?
Yeah. Too many Risk moves to make. Can't finish Cora.
I don't like the perspective of this camera and the one-third of the screen thing because my entire shoulders take up the width of the box I'm in, so it looks like I have this obnoxiously tiny head. Like,
well, so we can do this.
Oh, Octobox. I actually like that better.
We get to see our environment more.
Mm-hmm. I really like when people do that so I can like read the books on their bookshelves and stuff and like creep around on their whiteboards. Or was they
I specifically erased my whiteboard.
These people gave the Salesforce developer keynotes from their offices and I was perusing the chick's gaming book collection because she had a bunch of like second edition D&D books and I was like
oh, nice.
I know what those are.
See, what's in view on mine? I don't know. It's just barely on there. My favorite book might just barely be on screen on the top shelf there. But
The problem is that you can't really zoom.
No, you can't.
It's not like Zoom. So I can't like creep around. Right.
So here's the other thing. Is just reach out and grab it. This is my favorite book. The Stone and the Flute.
The Stone and the Flute, he says.
Yeah. So,
Anna, I saw this once.
this might interest you. The author is German.
I was looking at the name, yeah.
Hans Behmann, and he is no longer with us, but this is a translated
book.
I think there's only been about three of his books that have been translated into English. He's written more. And he's a mythology scholar.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I need to look him up. Yeah.
Now, more of his books can be found, you know, in German. And there are, like, I've tried to find this in audiobook form. And the only audiobooks available are in German. Okay. And my 2 years of high school German just aren't enough to get through 1,000-page tome.
Yeah, it does look like a long one.
It is. It's very long, and it's it follows the idea that people don't really change. Even when they do terrible things and are punished for them, they still don't tend to change. They don't always learn from their mistakes.
That's interesting.
What I love most about this book is it does one of the things that I really love in fiction where it Abby the Jackal, you thought that Backseat Producers are pod faded. No, we've just been on hiatus. This just happens to be a longer hiatus than we've done in the past. So it does this this thing where it tells you stories, and you should learn things from the parables it tells, but this guy just never learns. Like, he just continually never learns from the parables he's told. So it's the main character's name is Listener. His father was a Viking, this Viking chieftain named the Great Roarer. And like everything he did was loud and boisterous. And when he was born, the child didn't cry out the way the Great Roarer's child should cry out. And either was mom or dad said, it's like he's listening.
Yeah.
And so his name was Listener. And it's this story of Listener going out and trying to discover himself. And he meets all these different people, and everybody he meets in these different villages and stuff, they tell him like this story of that's typical of their village, like a parable. And if he would just listen to them, the next step he could have learned from, and he just doesn't. He just doesn't pay attention, which I find really fascinating. Yeah, I find it fascinating because it's this story of this young man who's just fumbling through life. And I think a lot of it had to do with when I read it, because I read it as a late teen.
Uh-huh.
So it was just like, yeah, man, I can totally relate to everything this guy is going through.
That's totally fascinating. Like, too, when you think about it in terms of, because I'm trying to see when. Was it what, 80? Oh, yeah, it was in 83 that it was originally written.
It was originally written in 83. I'm trying to. I didn't get it.
And
I had to get this copy later. I got this copy on eBay because my original copy of it was in softback, and I wanted a hardback copy of it, and that's what this one is.
He fought in World War II.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I bet he did have a lot of thoughts about people not changing and not learning lessons. That's really interesting. I would read that.
Cool. One of my favorite parts of it is he attends like this wedding ceremony, and part of the wedding ceremony is the bride and the groom are standing there, and the groom's father and the bride's mother are there, and the couple each then kind of turn to the spouse's parent and acknowledge them and show their love for them, because they acknowledge that odds are this is how you're going to look when you're 20, 30 years older. So can you appreciate how this person looks as an older person? Like, it was just something that really struck me. It's like, man, that's really kind of, there's something beautiful in that. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he makes some huge, terrible mistakes. At one point, he spends like a year as a stone statue, like with full awareness the whole time.
But that's him listening.
Yeah. And he's forced to. Like, birds come and shit on him. Wow. But he's completely aware of everything that's going on around him.
Yeah. Huh.
Abby the Jackal on Twitch is asking, have any of us read the Prince of Nothing series by R. Scott Baker? I have not.
Not this guy.
No, I don't think any of us are familiar with that one. So, I really liked the movie, though. I appreciated the idea that that you needed to slow down and that it was okay to learn to be a child again as a parent. I liked the message there. And as a parent, I appreciated that. And like, I always look for things in pop culture that speak to a certain like people at a certain point in their life. And I can see this being a parent of a child, of a young child, especially. Like, I could point to this movie and say, Sam, I think you might get benefit out of this. You've got a young child. I think there's something there to, not that you need to learn how to be that way, but I think there are lessons there that you could learn from. Kind of like how for everyone's 30th birthday they get a copy of Logan's Run.
I've watched it.
The movie version, not the book. The book you get in when you're 18. I should have gotten that for Holden.
You should have gotten that for Holden. You know, there's still time.
There is. He is still 18.
Yeah, he will be for a while. Logan's Run is a weird movie.
I still enjoy it.
I'm not saying, I didn't say it was a bad movie. I just said it was weird.
Oh, it is weird.
The weird is kind of part of the charm.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw it. We were at, it was one of those late evening movies on a basic, not basic cable, because it wasn't even cable at the time. It was on the non-network, like syndicated TV movie things on like a Saturday evening. Uh-huh. And I think we were like at somebody's house, like we were on vacation, and like when we were vacationing when I was growing up, our vacations were like 99% going to a relative's house and spending the night. Like, because in the military, family didn't live in town. You know, you had to go somewhere to visit family. So we'd go and spend a weekend. So I'm pretty sure it was something like that. I'm watching this movie. It's like, this is some weird shit. And like coming, you know, leaving the room and coming back in. Like if you miss a few minutes of that movie, there's some really bizarre stuff that happens. Like I vividly remember the first time I saw that scene where he goes in to get his face redone and the laser beams and everything. That was.
And then you come back and there's full 70s Bush just for like no reason whatsoever. Just like completely out of place in the rest of the movie.
Well, this was on syndicated TV, so that wasn't there. That was edited out. Yeah.
Disappointing. Do we feel weird about this movie and the way Mr. Rogers just makes like gross assumptions about this guy and his relationship with his dad?
How did he make gross assumptions about him?
He kept probing in a way that was like, oh yeah, you shouldn't be in a fight with your dad, but like maybe he should have been in a fight with his dad.
So there were certain, okay, I meant to ask about this. I'm glad you brought this up. There were certain points, and I think that was one of them, where I was wondering if we went into Lloyd's imagination. Like, he didn't really say that.
I only...
And there were a couple of, oh gosh, and that wasn't the only moment, where it, like, seemed to slip from just a completely normal, realistic situation. I'm not even talking about the time he passed out. Into, you know, the last bit of the conversation. It's like he's gone into his own head. Something about the way the the focus. And I needed to watch it again to be sure. But I don't know. But did it ever seem like we were shifting into his Lloyd subjectivity with some of those conversations? I'm going to try to look that up and...
It could have been. I honestly think that he said it, though.
Okay.
But I think that there's a... It depends on how you take it. I think there's a context issue with just saying, oh, you shouldn't be in a fight with your dad. Like, there's also, like, you shouldn't be put into a situation where you should be in a fight with your dad.
Yeah, only... Sometimes you should be in a fight with your dad. Like, sometimes you should be in a fight with people. Like, that's just normal stuff.
I'm wondering if that's not what he meant, was like a normal fight, like a conflict that has a beginning or an end. I'm wondering if he meant like a more, or if that line was about a more primal father, like there's the whole idea, you know, in art that like boys are there to upstage their fathers, and to exceed them, but also like destroy their fathers in a certain way, and that they're fundamentally in conflict. And I wonder if he's sort of saying that doesn't need, you're doing this same thing. You're fundamentally at odds with your father and you don't need to be necessarily while being just like him at the same time. And you don't need to play that out. And it's clear that you're playing it out by the way you're dealing with me as a father figure.
Mm.
So it's not about like, yeah, you shouldn't have any problem with the stuff your father's ever done. But it's not inevitable. You don't need to be fundamentally at odds with your father. And that could also mean never speaking to him again. Because, I mean, that's part of the thing about the wedding. Like, if Lloyd Fogel had had a healthy boundary in his life around being around his father, then he just wouldn't have gone to the wedding. He wouldn't go and start a fight.
Well, he didn't know his dad was going to be there.
He knew before they left. She told him. His wife told him. As they were packing. Yeah, she said, your dad's going to be there. Because it was the night, it was the day before when he was packing the kids' stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, your sister said your dad was coming.
Oh.
I thought that happened after.
I thought it was when he was packing the diapers.
All right.
I don't remember. I don't recall.
I'll defer your
problem. Yeah, I don't recall.
Because, because that's what set us up for there was going to be a problem. And maybe, I think there was some thinking that he might not show, because he had promised to do things and not show in the past. But, like, the idea was that he said he was coming.
Yeah, so but also, the boundary, sure, but it's not like he's not going to go to his sister's wedding. Like, why punish his sister because his dad sucks? Right?
It's her fourth wedding. You can send her a present. I mean, the idea is that when you have a healthy boundary in your life, that doesn't have to mean necessarily that you see yourself at odds with someone. It may mean that you choose not to speak to them or that you don't go to the wedding. But he wasn't, dealing with it.
No, he was not. And I think the other, for me, I could also see an implication that, Fred Rogers was speaking specifically also to the fact that Lloyd had a wound on his face. Like, there's physical evidence of a physical confrontation. And so when he says, you shouldn't be in a fight. Like, is he speaking just of a physical confrontation or at odds with him at a fundamental level? Because, was his name Jerry? Is that his name? His dad's name. Jerry was a shitbag. He had issues.
I heard he was a race car driver.
I don't know what that.
That's a Primus joke. Never mind. Continue.
Oh, I never really listened to Primus, so. There's that. My thought was more that it felt like Fred was talking about the physical confrontation. And in that, I agree with him. Because I think that was kind of more the point that he was getting to in the conversation. Why did it have to be physical in that way? Why did you have to have that? Why did you have to react that way? Because that was the mistake. The mistake was how.
But he doesn't know that.
He knew.
He doesn't know that he started the physical altercation. Like, it's not like he lines out the whole scenario. He's just assuming that this guy threw a punch.
In the question, though, when Lloyd doesn't defend himself and say, "I didn't throw the first punch. I didn't fight back."
Well, I don't know that when he says that, and then you don't defend it, if that's evident, retroactive evidence for you to make the statement to begin with. It just seems weird.
I got in a fight.
It seems really weird. And Anna brought this up. She's like, well, he's reacting weird to Mr. Rogers being a father, being a father figure. Well, I don't want people to treat me like they're my dad. Like, that is a turnoff to me.
Well, yeah, but I guess my point is that he would have acted weird toward Mr. Rogers regardless, because that's who he is. Like, regardless of how, there would have been either some kind of, he would have had a hostility, partially because he hates the world, but there would have been a thing there because he fundamentally is a father figure. And also, like Tony was talking about with the arrested development, I don't think Lloyd had many choices in how he responded to people who triggered things in him in any way, because he was so stuck in that pattern. That's how he was going to respond to an older man, was with the hostility he had toward his father, because he just was not living in a place of choice.
If that was the case, though, one mistake I think the movie made and could have done better is address that. There could have been something there addressing it with the editor, and how he reacts to people he interviews. They did mention at one point that Fred read all the articles they could find, so he has a sense of this guy's personality. It feels like just a little more dialogue in one of those conversations could have fleshed that out a little bit, and given us a sense of, yeah, you have problems with a certain type of person, and Fred reads people well, or seems to, and so he sees you,
yeah,
you know, and sees. They're really vague about, you know, Fred likes kind of people like you, and it's really vague what's going on there. Even the broken people line is a little bit too easy.
Yeah.
Then again, it's also a 2-hour long movie.
Admittedly, Fred Rogers says that he loves everyone, so it's kind of hard to like really put much into the he likes people like you. The dude likes everybody. He likes everybody.
Yeah, no, he takes an interest in, because I mean, he's up calling, which I do find fascinating. He's sort of up and just sort of calls, can you come like this specific day and hang out? And so he's making an effort in that relationship that, just like Lloyd, is doing far more than is necessary for what he needs to write, because there's this like attraction, he's being drawn. Fred Rogers is drawn to him as well and is giving more than he needs to give and more than has been asked for.
It's interesting how he did that too. It feels like it's one of two things. It feels like it could either be the power move of taking control of the situation and saying, this is when I choose to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's the move of somebody who knows that someone needs something and won't ask for it. Like when someone is in distress for some reason, just asking, hey, what can I do to help? The answer is almost inevitably, yeah, it's all good. Where it's like, I'm going to come over and we're going to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
If you don't make it a choice and you don't make it ambiguous, it's easier to accept as a person who is in that mindset.
Well, you've shifted the burden.
Yeah, you do. And he did.
A burden in asking for help, right?
Right.
And if you just show up, you've taken the burden on, right? There's an intrinsic risk of rejection, right? And you've removed the risk of rejection from the person you've taken out to dinner, right?
Like, yeah. You're not
out anything if they say no, because you're already... like you're already there.
You take on that burden yourself and the rejection, yeah. And showing up and saying, we're going out to dinner. And if they say, yeah, I really am not up to that. You've done, at that point, you've done what you could, what you were willing to do, what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, how you treat that rejection is up to you. And looking at it in terms of what, because that happened after they had met the first time. If I'm remembering right.
Yeah.
So he knew that there was more going on,
mm-hmm.
and that Lloyd might need a friend. That was all right.
The problem I had with this movie is that Fred Rogers is an incredibly interesting individual, and they explored none of what made him interesting. Mm.
And I think that's where, I think that's, if you have a problem with a movie, I think it comes down to expectation.
Yeah.
Because I liked the movie because I knew it wasn't going to be about Fred Rogers.
I did not know that.
So I didn't expect it to be about him.
I expected it to be about him. And then half an hour in, I was like, wait a minute. He's only been on screen for like 2 minutes.
So, yeah, Mr. Rogers is interesting, but is he movie interesting?
Yeah, he's
because really what's, like, exciting or what's inspiring about his life or interesting about it are there? Because I kind of feel like he's memoir interesting and biography interesting. But in terms of, like, are there high stakes, intense? And that's part of also what a good ordinary life is. Is not necessarily there being these like giant high stakes moments. It's that everyday cultivation. And
but there are really interesting. So he started broadcasting Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in 1967. Okay. In 1968, he had the black cop on with the whole like foot pool thing in. That was a year later. He had zero established, like, he didn't have weight to throw around to like break down cultural, like, racial barriers at the time. He's not, he wasn't resting on these laurels of like this huge accomplishment. Like, that shit is really interesting because he just did it.
But I don't know that that was necessarily something he had to fight for. You know, because, I mean, this is, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't powerful, but in terms of like a behind the scenes movie of it.
Mm-hmm. But also, the dude, his education was in media broadcasting.
Yeah.
But for 30 years, he did like some pretty intense work in child education.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what he was trained to do. There's just like a lot of really interesting shit going on there. Like, he fought the FCC for the funding. Like, it's just so many interesting things that could be dramatized in a way that, like...
And see, and I think that's where the... And I think that's why Tom Hanks even said, after watching the documentary...
Do we need to make this movie?
Do we need to make this movie? And I think the answer is yes, because the documentary did all those things that you're looking for.
But Tony, I hate documentaries. They talk down to me. What I want is I want a Fred Rogers movie, only it's about those things, but told in the style of an intense 90s action movie. You get Bruce Willis on there. He's Fred Rogers. You make the towel.
Can we get Rene Russo as Joanne?
I am fine with that.
Right.
Yeah. Ah, why didn't I go into making movies? Oh, it's because I never stick to anything I set out to do and will never create anything worthwhile. That's the thing.
There's always the potential for the Punch-Out movie.
The Punch-Out movie is the first thing that's on my list of items to create once I win the lottery. Second is a Tesla DeLorean.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually feel like somebody's already done that, though. I feel like probably. I've seen footage of that somewhere.
That wouldn't be a surprise.
But I wouldn't. I'd still also do it. Hey, can you please be quiet? I'm busy. Hey, are you feeling insecure? What's going on? Every time I looked at Tom Hanks as Fred Rogers, I could not get my brain to stop thinking Carl Sagan.
I mean, they were both on PBS.
They were both on PBS, but they also looked like... not dissimilar either.
Yeah, thin and gray.
Yeah. Thin graying with that, like...
a quivering lip.
That angled...
Mm.
Yeah. See, Lena knows the deal. No explosions, no gun-toting dinosaurs. Ultimately... ooh!
Kung Fury.
The Mr. Rogers story.
Mr. Rogers time travels to fight Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Or to talk Hitler down.
Yeah, go. Yeah, there it is.
And then when it doesn't work, then he has to fight him.
He's like that trope, too. He's like such a good fighter, but he never fights because he's an intense pacifist.
Yep. I'm violently pacifist.
Yeah. I will beat the peace into you.
Yeah. Yeah. So if all goes well, and by all going well, I mean I just need to actually type up the post because I've done all the editing on it. The first episode of us coming back, actually getting released under the podcast feed, will come out on Friday. So that's going to be the Idiocracy episode. So I'm just going to leave us like a couple of weeks behind because I'm figuring at some point we'll stumble again. We'll lose a week or two here or there, probably around holidays. Christmas and New Year's.
What was episode 493?
We don't have one picked out yet.
Oh, 493 is the next one?
That's the next one. Wait, what no, is, that's this one.
What?
That, what that's what, that's this one.
Why? Oh, T. Hanksgiving. That's why it starts with a T.
Yeah.
On the title of this, I can only see Backseat Producers 493 and then
T. I see that dot, too dot, now. Dot.
Yeah.
I see that now too.
So I was trying to figure out what the fuck that was.
It's T. Hanksgiving.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, we don't have 494 picked out yet.
You know what we haven't done that we're coming up on the year anniversary of?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little awkward we haven't done Rise of Skywalker yet.
It is. It is. We should do that.
I mean, I don't want to do it, but I do want to do it. It needs to be done. It does need to be done.
Oh, yeah, you don't have Disney Plus. I was going to say, they've released a Lego Star Wars holiday special.
Ew. How many Ewoks?
There are some Ewoks, but it's actually pretty great. Like, they managed to do it in such a way that they use the modern characters to do a holiday special. Like, they do the whole Wookiee Life Day thing.
Uh-huh.
But they managed to put a time travel element into it. So they kind of step back through the Star Wars mythology and touch on the original holiday special, stuff from A New Hope. It's very cleverly done.
Do we go to Kashyyyk?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, we go to Kashyyyk with their huge goddamn trees and their 100,000-year-old Wookiees.
Yep. Of course.
Of course we do.
So, speaking of Star Wars and reviewing it, Julie told me that there was a podcast with Lauren Lapkus and Nicole Byer, comedians, where... She Nailed It on Netflix. You may have seen her in some other things. I'm not real sure. She does a lot of pop culture stuff. Regardless, they're doing a podcast called the Newcomers Podcast. Mm-hmm. And the conceit of it is neither of them have ever seen any Star Wars anything before.
Oh, really?
And they're going to watch it and talk about it.
Hmm.
And apparently this started...
It's Trudy Judy.
Yeah.
It's Doug Judy's sister on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes,
that's right. I forgot that she had done that. Yep. Yep. Have you ever seen the movie The Wrong Missy on Netflix?
Negative.
The other woman that's in that is the girl who plays The Wrong Missy.
Oh, no. I know who Lauren Lapkus is.
Yeah. So they're
She's the girl in the You're on Fire, They Might Be Giants music video.
I'll take your word for that. Well, I don't know that music video. But their conceit is they've never seen any of the Star Wars movies and they're going to watch them and talk about them. So I listened to the first episode. I take that back. I listened to 5 minutes of the first episode and turned it off and deleted the feed from my podcatcher. I don't mind if somebody reviews something that they watch and they give it a legitimate review, but it was clear. Like I listened to 5 minutes of audio, and by listen to, I skipped through the one commercial they had because this was on Stitcher. Mm-hmm. This is one of those Stitcher podcasts, so like they feel the need to put a commercial right at the beginning of it.
True.
So I skipped through that. So I probably only listened to about 3.5 minutes of this podcast, and it was clear to me from that 3.5 minutes that they watched the first movie. They didn't want to watch the first movie. They enjoyed nothing about the experience of watching the first movie and didn't try to, they didn't try to review it.
Which first movie?
Episode 4.
That's tough.
It's tough. But then I read some other reviews of the podcast and I got the same sense that I got the sense from people who listened to the whole thing that I was right. Like they've done all the Star Wars movies, including The Mandalorian, including the holiday special, including like Solo and Rogue One. Mm-hmm. Like they've done all of them. And the thing that I saw in the reviews was, yeah, I don't like those movies either. So I love your podcast. Mm. Yeah.
Well, no. So here's the thing though. Like
I don't have a problem liking them. But I don't have a problem if you don't like them, but why are you on purpose watching this just to rip on something that you clearly have zero interest in?
I'll probably never listen to that.
Yeah.
Even though I have a thing for Lauren Lapkus.
Sure.
She's on fire. It's also interesting to go into it with that, like, I guess with that attitude, because, you know, like, Star Wars is cinematically iconic. Like, it's on the lists. And you can look at it, and there's, like, deep problems with the movie, but also, it's a cultural icon in a lot of ways, so it's, like, hard to, like, you have to view it in that context, I guess. I don't know.
So, I guess I don't the other thing that I didn't get around to explaining was, and I didn't get to the part of the episode where they did it, because they were just starting to introduce it, was they have someone who is a legitimate Star Wars fan also join them on the podcast after they talk for a few minutes about it.
Sure.
And it seems like this person is only there to try to convince these two of why they should like it, of why it should be, they should enjoy it.
Well, Tony, I've always made the distinction between enjoying something and it being good. And I've always been raked over the coals for that. It can be good and you cannot enjoy it.
Their problems with it were that it was slow. It was boring. And that there were wipes, and the transitions were weird.
Oh, the transitions are weird. Those are legit and fair criticisms.
It was also made in 1977.
It was made in 1977, and basically Joseph Campbell wrote the script for this, and George Lucas got in there and fucked around with it enough to make a gold-plated robot, a trash can on wheels, some fucking nerd on a desert planet, and Han Solo, whom we're all aspiring to be. Let's just be honest about it. Because he fucking Harrison Ford rolled in with those tight pants and that holster.
I mean, I'm not sure if, like, what the point of having the Star Wars fan would be, if this is the case, but I feel like it's a bit of a trend in podcasting to do that, and it's not really about the reviews, or it's not even supposed to be a real review. It's, I mean, it's one of the only ways that comedians and a lot of artists can, like, do anything at all right now. I mean, that's number one. And then it's a way to just, like, it's something to riff off of that people will be familiar with. And it's also a way of, like, what do I want to say? Like, performing a friendship or a relationship or sociability, which people can't do. Yeah. And so I don't even think it's about, like, I feel like there are a lot of things like that. And in a way, it's not really about a review.
Oh.
And I find most of that stuff, like, incredibly tedious. I just dislike it. But I think it's a whole genre of podcasting right now.
I completely agree. I have a very, very difficult time listening to podcasts by famous people. I do listen to one, but, like, so I listen to the Talking Sopranos podcast, but
Jesus, Tony.
But it's like it's Michael Imperioli and Steve Sciarrippa who were on the Sopranos. They were major characters on the, well, at least one of them, Michael Imperioli, was a major character on Sopranos. And both of them were like, yeah, we haven't watched the episodes in 20 years. So we're going to watch the episodes and then we're going to bring people on and interview them who are people we know personally.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting perspective. Yeah.
And who were on the show.
Yeah.
So like I give that one a pass because it feels more like this podcast.
Well,
because these people are genuinely affectionate for one another and they have real experience with the thing.
Well, yeah. And I mean, in some ways, that's almost like a long form, like a lot of the old music documentaries or even some movie documentaries where you get together and talk with people who are involved. And I mean, it's almost like a long form audio version of that, like a less published one.
Yeah. Like I remember when Battlestar Galactica, the one with that Ronald Moore produced, was coming out. When was that? In the mid 2000s?
Yeah.
Like the mid 2000s. He did a weekly podcast, but his weekly podcast was, all right, I'm starting the episode now. And like his podcast was literally just an audio commentary track of that week's episode.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's sitting there smoking, like you could hear him smoking cigarettes, and just he's like, oh yeah, and oh, when this happened in this episode, this was going on, and oh yeah, I remember.
Oh yeah, we clearly didn't write an ending for the show, so
I like Battlestar. I like how it ended.
Yeah, it's more like an audio journal.
Tony.
It was.
I'm trying to think
and
I...
he was doing it as the like he did he released them every week. And he would release them like the episodes would come out on Friday night. He would release those on Monday. So it gave you time to watch the episode. And then you could, if you wanted to, you could actually watch the episode and listen along. I always listened at work. So, so it gave me an opportunity to mentally replay the episode because he talked about what's going on in the scenes and such.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't think any of them are by people who are famous. Inside of podcasting.
Yeah.
Or outside of podcasting.
Right.
Except maybe, I do follow Brene Brown's, but she also kind of talks for it, you know, so yeah. And she's mostly doing interviews.
You see Thelonious back there? He can sense that I'm on here. And
No, because you see him back there. But then what he's upset about is this to the side. And this is normally the time of day when I'm sitting on the couch between them. And like, I'm more equitable in my interactions, but I spent all day in here with Fuzzball. And then I'm like spending more time in here with Fuzzball. It's complicated.
I think we're going to have a serious problem with Panda when we go back to work. If Julie ever goes back to work, like in person, because there's like legitimate talk about that never happening again. Yeah, he's just a mess about it.
Yeah.
Like
if I leave this room, Romeo has to come with me now. Like they're going to have separation anxiety in a weird way when I start leaving the house regularly again.
Anytime Aaron puts on shoes, Panda thinks he's going for a walk.
She has no other reason to put shoes on. Like, what else is she doing?
Yeah. Because both the kids are doing 100% remote learning. Mm-hmm. When she puts shoes on, it's time to go for a walk. Because normally that she's doing it during the day. Mm-hmm. And her PE class, he actually is like, all right, be back in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
And she does. Like, I know there's probably some kids that just walk off camera and go and play video games. Aaron's like, she puts her shoes on and she takes off. That's great. His routines are just, he's getting even more locked into his routines now. Like he gets super excited when Julie goes and sits on the recliner because then it's Mommy Panda recliner snuggle time. Mm-hmm. She sits in the recliner. She puts those feet up and he is immediately in her lap, spread out across her lap. And he like passes out like unconscious.
As it should be.
Rough. Yep. Oh, Tony, in the chat room, Margaret Plantagenet, that's a good friend of mine, Tony Coral. It's complicated.
Yeah,
it's going to be really weird for him too. Like if we go back to work and when Holden goes to school, that's just going to rock his world hard. Because Holden is also the one that can get away with playing rough with him. Like if I get down on the floor and try to play rough the way Holden does, he thinks he's getting in trouble. Like he thinks there's, why are you doing this to me? Why are you smacking me around? I'm not. I'm playing with him exactly the same way Holden does. But for them, it's just playtime. Yeah. Oh yeah. They are litter mates as far as he's concerned. They're. Oh, and like. From the time we got him home, I mean, at that point, Aaron was clearly much younger and much smaller. She was the baby of the house.
Yeah.
And she could get away with murder. Like, if he was playing with a toy and we wanted to get it out of his mouth, she could literally reach in, grab him by the muzzle, reach into his mouth, pull it out, and he'd just open his mouth and let it happen. If one of us tried that, he'd take off the other direction. He'd run, he'd thrash around. Nope. No, it's weird the pecking order that he has figured out in his own head for each of us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they sit and they watch and they see the interactions. And I mean, that's their entire job to figure out how the pact is and where they fit in it. And yeah, I don't, if I ever leave the house for more than an hour or two, I come home to like just cold stares.
Oh.
And so.
Well, I think the one thing that Panda will enjoy is because we do crate him when we're out, when all of us are out of the house, and we still crate him overnight, he will probably catch up on all his sleep. The first couple of months of us being home was really, really rough on him because he was so used to just sleeping all day.
Yeah.
And he could not do that.
Yeah, it's a tough life.
Infringed on anybody's sleeping schedule. It's pretty set in stone around here. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I do now have a finer appreciation for just what 20 hours of sleep a day looks like. That's just never going to be my life, but
you can try.
Yeah, I've seen it now. It also makes me really wonder why he has to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning when I'm sleeping. Like, seriously? Dude.
Well, I mean, think about it. He's busy. He has a 20-hour sleep schedule. So
yeah, I just don't know why they don't overlap.
He's got to wake up when
you got to take that waking time when it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but it feels like the odds are against me that they wouldn't overlap.
You need to plan your day better, clearly.
God, what a butthole. God, he's such a butthole.
Mm. Have a great Thanksgiving, Tony. Tell Mark I said hi.
Yeah, you tell Mark we said hi.
I don't feel like I've drank nearly enough.
I've drank a considerable amount. I've already killed one bottle of vodka, Tony.
Oh, well done.
It was half empty already, just so well. There wasn't the whole, like, alcohol poisoning situation happening over here.
I saw your mastermind, your picture of it.
Yeah, I actually am drinking that sour apple unbroken.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Stumpy's is doing well. They have a whole, like, Moscow Mules on tap at Schnucks.
On tap?
Yeah, because my Schnucks, well, I mean, lots of Schnucks have, like, taps of stuff. They have a cocktail tap now, and you can get, like, a jug of their Moscow Mules.
Hmm.
Mine doesn't.
Oh. Come to South City.
I live in bougie Maryland Heights.
Well, come to South City, get a jug of that, sit at the bus stop in front of
and enjoy it. No, I'm not coming to South City. You guys are a plague epicenter.
Yeah, no. I every time I look at the zip codes, mine is
It's like every one in five people or some shit like that.
Really?
It's fucking high. It's a high. And it's not like Maryland Heights' percentages are much better. It's just that since I live in the county, no one lives near each other, so like 2 yards distance between.
Well, and I mean, I think some of it is you also just have fewer people who have the kinds of jobs that can be just working work from home jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I know like a bunch of the people, like Curtis's mom is a home health worker, and so she's going to people's houses.
That is a
when I think about like most of the people, I mean, maybe a third are staying home, working from home full time. But yeah, when I think about my street and the third of the people I know on my street,
I can't tell you what my street is doing because I don't ever interact with them.
Same.
Actually, that's not true.
We have Corona.
Yeah. The guy next to me is a plumber. He's out all the time. The guy across from me is retired. The people next to me, I believe he's a nurse. So,
the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is the last time I laid eyes on the building that I work in was, when was that? September? May? No, August or September. Okay. I didn't go in. I drove past it because we were doing something else, and I just drove past the building. I haven't actually been inside of the building that I work in since March.
Yeah.
I went in August after hours because they have a printer and a scanner, and I was buying a house.
Yeah. I have a printer and a scanner here, so there's that.
Oh, $1 million Tony Mast.
Yeah, I bought a really cheap laser printer a couple of years ago that I just wanted a cheap laser printer and just also happened to be a scanner copier. So it's turned out it was a really great to have during this when the kids need to print stuff off. Yeah. Because a lot of Holden's tests and quizzes, he can do some of them. Most of the work can be done online, but he's got his honors algebra 2 stuff. She wants him to be able to show work. That's it's really hard to show work online. So it's just time consuming. Like even just putting the answers in online can be a little time consuming, but. Like this, he just writes it out longhand, takes a picture, and shoots it to her, and that gets the job done.
I'm all about that taking a picture life.
Yeah, that whole Missouri thing is crazy.
What Missouri?
What the entire state is doing? Not fighting the virus.
Oh yeah, no, we just surrendered like immediately.
Yeah.
There's just nothing we'll ever be able to do, so we might as well never try. I don't feel like that is the appropriate response.
Right. So here, Illinois has, like, our governor is doing a really good job of, like, trying to put things in place. But in the very red area of this county, the city that I live in, people are just terrible. Like, they don't believe that it's a thing. They believe that, like, they're on this nonsense kick of the governor just wants to tax the shit out of us, but he wants small businesses to fail. So that's why the mandates are going into effect that you shouldn't eat out. Because he wants small businesses to fail for tax money? Like the leaps in logic are just insane.
Yeah.
And then there's all the creative things that they call him. Prickster is the one that, because it's Prickster.
Yeah. So yeah, Prickster is that, the one. I mean, that's pretty easy. Yeah.
That's the easy one. That's the lazy
itself.
One. That's the lazy one. The more bold ones that we'll post, we'll call them Schitzker. Because it's okay to use the potty words, I guess, for some of them. Yeah, it's
rough. That feels lazy.
It is. It's all very lazy. That and they'll use photos of him at when he does press conferences, which, like, if you watch the press conference, he wears the mask, then he takes it off to talk into a microphone with no one around him. Then he puts it back on. Like, oh, see, he's not wearing a mask. He can get away with it. He's doing things that we can't. It's all very strange.
This isn't a moral thing. It's like...
Yeah. It's just so... This country... It's just very this country.
Man, I just really hope this one of these vaccines comes through and does what it's supposed to.
I think it will, but there are some severe problems with the way it's being handled, too. Like the Moderna one or the Pfizer one. One of them is, they're telling their double-blind test people, like, soon, which seems like a problem. But, you know, whatever.
I mean, if they're confident, it's just a matter of getting the FDA approval.
And I think Moderna and Pfizer both filed for the fast-tracked FDA approval process. So
I believe so.
It is going to be a reality before the end of the year for, like, healthcare workers. And then just as much as...
Which,
like,
is fine.
Yeah, which is fine. Like, it's not like we just didn't hang them out to dry for 10 months.
Right.
So...
At this point, I kind of think that it's going to be, I think I might be out of the office for a full year.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, selfishly, I hope that there's something by March just because birthday.
birthday, Mardi Gras.
Well, for Julie and I, this is a big birthday for us. So this is our 50th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I missed my 49th birthday because of this.
Oh, Tony, but you're perfect square this year.
I know.
That's a good year, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so... dude. So, like, I'm really hoping next year comes through. I mean, we missed my parents' 50th anniversary. We're probably going to miss our birthdays. I think it'll be close. What I'm really hoping for is May, though. Because I really hope Holden can have a graduation and at least a graduation party, you know. So much else of the year is just completely gone. And if not that, at least that he can go to school. Like, you know, we can take him to school and not.
And he can stay.
And he can stay and we won't have that as a concern. There's plenty of other things to be concerned about that we don't need that one. Yeah. That one extra one also.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony, I'm going to have so many orgies. Oh, my God. Just dream of the days when STIs are the thing you had to worry about catching.
You'll be there again.
I know.
Yeah, Lena, let's talk about age for a minute.
Old people fight! Yeah, I was thinking this year, if we actually are able to have birthdays, we have to celebrate double.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because it looks like if the mass production and distribution of the vaccines doesn't actually hit until March, we'll actually have a full year of people skipping stuff. So, yep.
Double birthdays, double anniversaries, just double it up.
All done.
Yeah, I'll be looking to double up on Sausage Fest next year also.
If Archon even happens.
I think as long as we're able to go safely, it'll happen.
Really? I thought the whole finance situation was tenuous at best.
I think from what I understand, the fact that their contracts were all pushed, they just postponed all the contracts for a year.
Yeah.
So they didn't actually have to pay for any of that stuff.
That's nice.
I believe that's the case. And I don't know if that's just somebody
told you that
telling nice stories about that. But my understanding was that was what it was, that they were able to push all those contracts for a year and that they're still honored for the same weekends and everything. Mm-hmm. And what you got to fear is a lot of people paid in advance. I mean, me being one of them, I was by mine the year before.
I might have done that too.
It's just cheaper. And they're like, okay, yeah, if you don't think you're going to be able to make it, if you need the money back for whatever reason, we'll refund your money. I'm like, I'll go next year, so I might as well just let you guys hold on to it for another year. Plus, I mean, at that point, they probably need it more than I do. That $45, whatever.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I might have bought a badge already. I don't even remember. That's interesting. I don't know, Tony. I actually have a hope for what thing. Like, although this is deeply distressing. I was taking a shower this morning, and I was like, man, like, there's a realistic possibility I'm going to be taking a shower to go into the office in the next 6 months. And then I was like, fuck, I don't want to go into the office. Like, ugh. So I had my first anxiety about actually the world reopening. Like, oh, shit. I'm going to have to get used to going places again.
Yeah, I know for me it's the physical reaction now I feel to seeing people together is interesting. Like I see photos of people like taking a group selfie and I'm like, and it's like, oh wait, you're sharing a memory. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like I have this like gut reaction now to seeing groups of people.
Yeah, I just watched 6 seasons of Superstore. And it's just like people are standing next to each other talking, and it's awkward.
Yeah, I'm starting to wince when I see that in movies. Like, oh, y'all are awfully close. This is gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can tell I'm like developing like a mild phobia of.
Yeah, the dude works a customer service desk, and people walk up to it and just talk to him without a mask on. Like, stop. But then, their 6th season is Corona.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we just started watching that.
Yeah, it's like all the jokes you knew, all the things you already knew about working at Walmart during a pandemic. So.
I need to head to bed, but it was good to see you. Thank you for inviting me.
It was great seeing you. Yeah, anytime. You were always welcome.
Thank you.
And doing it this way, you know, for the time being, it makes it easier. You get like that drive time back.
Yeah, no, it's super easy.
But unfortunately, you're occupied on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I've got a Wednesday thing now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. Whenever we'll have to see what things are looking like with the gaming thing whenever Cora comes up. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
I've got. You
know, and when we do Cora, you know, we can always shift the nights.
Yeah, if it works.
I mean, but really, I've got Sunday night gaming and Thursday nights the kids use this room for voice lessons.
Okay.
Because they still do voice lessons and they do them online. Like
this. Okay, so they're both doing it. I didn't realize Erin was doing it too. Okay, great.
Yep. She's in choir in junior high. So, so That's going on. Watch for it. In the next week or so, we're going to be advertising on Facebook the Madrigals that Holden's involved in. That actually starts on the 4th, Friday the 4th, and is running pretty much through the month of December.
Okay.
He wrote the play that they're doing. Yeah, he wrote the script for it. He performs in it, and they do the songs and such, of course, and it's all done remote. Well, they recorded on stage with clear masks, everybody socially distant. So like they did what they could, there is still, there's still a performance. And the nice thing is the way they're doing it, you can rent a link and the link lasts for 48 hours. You can watch it a couple times if you want.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how long the show is going to be. I've heard 45 minutes, hour and a half, you know, somewhere in that range. I think it depends on how many songs they're successfully able to edit in, because the way they're doing the songs, they're doing sections and merging it all together, merging the audio and video all together. I'm really curious to see how it all comes together.
That'll be neat, though.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it.
Cool. Well, have a good night. Talk to you later.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Tea
Hanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Tea Hanks.
A little bit of bookkeeping with all this. The recordings that we have now, we can record and it will save the audio and video for 4 hours.
4 hours? Holy shit.
Yeah. So we can do a 4 hour block of recording and it will save that. It will actually save that so I can download the audio and video, which is great because that's how I'm going to be doing the podcast after I do. So I did the first one and the first one was free. They let me do the downloading of the audio and video for free. The second two we did were outside of that trial range.
Yeah.
So I'm going to actually have to strip the audio off of Facebook to get an audio recording. That's going to be fun.
Didn't sound fun.
No, it's not. I haven't done it yet. I'm just assuming that it's not going to be a whole lot of fun. What I'll probably do is just set it up on this computer while I'm working on my work laptop and just let it run, because it's going to have to record in real time.
Yeah.
But starting with this recording again, because we've upgraded to the paid version, which means that we've got the nice little logo there above your head. Other side. There you go. we're able to stream to more than just one platform at a time. Yeah. So that's why we were able to add Twitch and YouTube streaming also. But it also gives me the ability to download the recording, both the video and audio, for 10 days after we do the stream. So I'll be able to very easily grab the audio.
Yeah.
Slap that into some music and throw it up online.
Ooh. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's less work.
Yeah, I am all about that less work. You know what I mean?
So what I'm thinking about doing, and I'll take this under advisement, is doing maybe a little bit more stuff on Twitch now that I have the ability to do this with a screen share and do like some gaming stuff. We could do some gaming stuff online.
I was actually thinking about setting up just a browser game for us to play, because I can share my screen.
Yeah.
While we're doing this. Yeah, that might be fun.
So we could throw that out on the Twitch feed also, just for the Twitch. I don't know if people want to see it other places. I mean, for me, it's just a matter of how many of the things I check off. I think it's probably more just for Twitch, but I'm willing to add it for everything. I think it'd be a fun way to just do more stuff.
Everybody's got the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. Well, we can get some different people in who might not have the time to commit to a movie, or maybe just want to jump in and say hi.
Yeah, it's, I'd do some Among Us. That'd be some fun stuff.
That would be fun. Yep.
It's a little harder to stream, but
it is. I know some other people that stream it. AJ, one of the guys that helps out with Sausage Fest, he's part of the Jason and Jason group. Yeah. He's got a Twitch feed, and he's been doing some Among Us. I played with them one night. That was a lot of fun.
My brother's got one, and he makes like a couple hundred a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we grouped up to play. Like with Steam, it's really easy to jump into somebody else's game. So he was playing Deep Rock Galactic one night.
Mm.
So I just joined his game because I could. And he's like, "Don't say anything about us being brothers. I'm streaming." He's just so paranoid about people knowing who he is. It's just very weird.
Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Sure.
Considering this is literally tied to my personal Facebook accounts and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't care.
God, I'm so lucky to work a job where, like, no one gives a shit about what my online personality is, so I can just
be
my online personality. A former client of mine friended me on Facebook, and I was like, I don't have a problem being friends on Facebook, but I'm going to talk about my dick a lot. So... if this is fine with you.
Yeah, I don't.
Just want to let you know what you're signing up for.
I don't tend to reach out to a lot of people to make friend requests on Facebook unless I know that they're okay with, like, all of my personality. Mm-hmm. Like, some of the. Because I'm involved in, like, the parents' groups with stuff. Yep. And, mm-hmm. like, I've made mention that this is a very conservative area. And I don't make a whole lot of bones about my politics. And so I'm like, look, you can make a friend request and I'll accept it. Just understand what you're in for.
Yeah. I placed a cat with a foster family and I friended them so I could keep an eye on that cat.
Oh yeah. Right?
Like if I saw some stuff that I didn't like in their feed, I'd have gone and gotten that cat. But quite the opposite. That cat found the perfect family. And they have a daughter, and their daughter is the cutest thing that isn't McKenna. And like that cat and that daughter are inseparable. So no worries.
No worries at all. Yeah, and if anybody on the feed ever wants to just hop on, if they've got a comment about a movie that we're talking about, I don't think either of us would have a problem just letting somebody crash the. It's real easy to give somebody an invite.
Yeah, I have a long track record of inviting people to this podcast.
Yeah, so
infrequently opposed to that.
And the nice thing is, I do have like an incredible amount of control over like if somebody gets off the rails, like if somebody we don't know. Yeah. All right. Thanks for showing up.
Oh, this turned into a Nazi thing. Oh.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we pretty much know everyone who shows up on these things. But yeah, I have no problem if somebody wants to take umbrage with something that's being said or has some other little insight to something we're talking about. Or, you know, isn't sick and has to lay down all the time, Lena.
Yeah, Lena. God damn.
Oh, you know, speaking of Letterkenny, that new season comes out in a month.
I mean, there's so much shit coming out in the next month. Letterkenny, Big Mouth. There's one more thing. Oh, I gotta poop it out of my brain. Oh, I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I got memory constipation.
Yeah, Big Mouth's on like the 4th, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's coming up soon.
I think it's the same day that Holden's Madrigals is starting to stream. Yeah, we miss you.
Yeah. Admittedly, Lena, I miss a lot of people, but that's because I can't see anyone.
Yeah.
What is your deal, Romeo? What is going on? Well, I don't know what the fuck your deal is. You sleep all day, you're awake for like 45 minutes, and the entire 45 minutes you're going to yowl at me. Lay down, butthead.
Yes, Letterkenny is the 26th of December.
The 26th of December? That's a weird release date.
It's because Crave TV has first rights.
Yeah.
And they're releasing it on the 25th. So Hulu gets it on the 26th.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, the 25th is a weird date, too. Christmas is a weird release date.
That's when Wonder Woman comes out on streaming.
What?
Wonder Woman 84 is going to stream. It's going to be in theaters and stream on Christmas Day.
That's weird.
I mean, HBO Max.
That's weird.
Yeah, HBO Max. No additional charge.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I was shocked. I thought they were going to do something like Disney did with Mulan, where like you have to have Disney Plus and then you pay extra for Mulan.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're just, it's going to be on HBO Max. You just get it on Christmas Day.
Huh. Well, I have that.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm going to have to reflect on that.
I'm surprised too, but I would be less surprised about Marvel doing that with Black Widow, just because I feel like they've got more movies coming down the pipe, and at some point they're just going to want to start getting those movies out.
Yeah, but now is a weird time. They've announced the vaccine, so like it's all just going to be a matter of this is the real shit thing, Tony. Now it's just going to be a matter of the logistics. And this is the Factorio time to shine. Get some conveyor belts. Get some inserters. Let's get make those, some throughput.
Get some blue belts. Get some stack.
Blue belts.
Some stack inserters.
Mm-hmm.
Let's load up those drones.
I'm doing nothing but making lube. Just tons and tons of lube.
You know, that's the one thing I haven't done yet in Factorio is make the blue
belts.
The blue belts.
You know, the odds that you're going to be producing in the quantities that you need to make, you need to move 45 of something a second, is very low.
Yeah, it really comes down to, like, when I built the world that I'm using right now, I set up, like, the super high
resource
density. Resource density. Yeah. So like 300,000 when I drop a mine, like it'll produce 300,000. It's like, that's going to take forever to deplete. But it's also huge areas. Like, so if I put a ton of mines around, the problem becomes that like I can't get the stuff out as fast as I'm mining it. So at that point, I think maybe the blues would help. I also, in this one, I'm still doing the same one that I was doing before. I'm up to like 50 or 55 satellite launches at this point. I still have not done any drones. I just,
Jesus,
Tony. Like I never did the production for it. So like,
I mean, you did most of the production for it because I think blue,
purple
science requires it.
Right. But I actually haven't laid out the infrastructure to do it.
I mean, once you got the flying robot frames, it's just a red circuit or a green circuit to get the actual drone.
Yeah.
Except for those fucking robo ports, which take 45 advanced circuits. That's a big drain. That's a big drain.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been debating starting a new map. Like something, like at this point, I'm like, I want to just get to 100 satellite launches. Like there's just something about that nice round number, but it's going to take a while.
I think I just launched my 350th on the game I'm playing.
Nice. Nice.
But that game was specifically so I could make blueprints of like more efficient, high production things. Like that's basically all I was doing with it. And now I've got a bunch of stuff and I'm like waiting on 3,000 some odd per like productivity modules or something. So it's like,
oh wow.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm to the point where like one of the things that I had never really done before in recent time was all the nuclear stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know how. Like I didn't know what resources I need, and I didn't know how to do the layouts of it. Like I found this really nice deep rich vein of uranium. It's like start building everything there, and it's like, oh, I need sulfuric acid. I didn't know I needed that.
That's the worst
shit, and it's nowhere near here. So I set up a train, just train some of that down.
Just trains everywhere.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took me a few minutes to like it took me a day or two to really work out the logistics of it. The train goes down and brings sulfur, sulfuric acid, and the train goes back with the uranium. I don't even know what they're called, like the fuel cells. Everything all right there?
I hear music.
That's weird. I don't.
I shouldn't hear music.
Do you have a different tab? Is it like in your house or is it in your headphones?
No, the headphones are only my VoIP, like my video and chat stuff. Everything else goes through my speakers, and I have those turned off because music is not coming from inside the house.
It's coming from inside the house.
It's coming from somewhere else, and I don't know what that somewhere else is. But all right, well, whatever. It's gone now. It's gone now. Yeah, no, trains are the best.
Yeah, I have the fuel cells and some of the excess uranium-238 going back to my main base just so I can
make the ammo and nukes.
Yeah. I haven't made the nukes yet. Not yet. I thought I had the right stuff to make the nukes, and I realized I did not.
I use a shitload of nukes. Not because I have a couple mods on there that give me bigger armor sets, so I have larger grids. Mm. So I've got a shitload of shields and lasers, but like it's just faster to nuke an area than anything else. Like it's just very fast.
It was super, super satisfying when I built that Spider-Tron and loaded it up with the
rockets,
the high explosive rockets, and just walked into a base and just the rockets just flooding in and clearing the base out. That was there was something incredibly satisfying about that.
Yeah. You don't even have to be in it.
Yeah.
Oh, don't I even have though. To be in it.
I was, though, because I liked that. Like, I liked being in it and just wading into the thick of it.
Yeah. Now, the thing's got a ton of durability, too.
Yeah.
And it also, it's fast, and it doesn't get encumbered by the acid. Because I've been killed a couple times, even though I have a million shield points, because the acid doesn't let me move.
Oh, yeah.
And once you become stationary, everything that spits acid at you hits you automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really frustrating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's been a few times where I walked into a particularly big base, and I left my Spidertron just outside of range and just walked into it and let my personal lasers and stuff clear most of it out. There's been a few times it's like, oh, I died. All right, well, I'll just get back in the Spidertron and walk in and pick up my body.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I actually have a chest at the spawn point filled with the remote controls for the Spidertron.
Mm.
So when I die and I have to go get my body back, I can just grab one of the controls and just have it come pick me up, because like the distance between me and where the biters are now is like almost a full day-night cycle's worth of walking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Well, especially when you respawn and you don't have
exoskeletons. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, at first I didn't realize just how much faster I was moving in the Spidertron than not. Like, I was doing it, it's like, oh, this doesn't seem that much faster. Well, it's because I'm zoomed out that much farther.
Yep.
Yeah, it's considerably faster.
Yeah, and I got a shitload of exoskeletons in the spider.
Because
I've got two spiders. I got the fast spider, and I've got my war spider. Fast spider is just to go get my body again.
No, that's the way to do it.
Yep. God damn, the game's fucking perfect.
I really do like it.
Oh, it's so good. Ugh.
I wouldn't mind seeing some, and there are probably stuff out there. I just haven't look deep into it, is some like challenge modules where you get scenarios to play through.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the demo.
Oh yeah. Kind of like the single player challenges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The single player challenges are fine, but it's an effort. It's about efficiency. It's about trying to get the most efficient layout. There's not a skill to it so much as understanding the most efficient layout, which is, it's helpful, but there's not a whole lot of replayability to those.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I just worked my way through the achievement list. A lot of those were a labor. Actually, hold on. If you didn't use drones.
I made 4 of them.
Oh, Tony.
Yeah. Yeah, because I thought at one point I was going to use it, and I accidentally made a couple.
Tony!
Yeah, yeah.
You already did the hard work.
I know. Actually, I take that back. I did not make the drones. I made the roboports.
That's the hard work.
Because I was sure I was going to use them, so I started making roboports as soon as I got them. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to use these.
I use the shit out of them, Tony.
Oh, normally I do. Yeah, normally I use the shit out of them. And so I'm really lazy.
Even lately, like, I've been using the personal roboports, which I haven't used a lot in the past. Just unrelenting. Just constantly used it.
Yeah. I'll never forget the time I realized that I could use those personal roboports and walk out and drop a receiver chest in a forest and just delete the area and just let them take care of it.
Do it. Yeah.
Yep. Do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I hate clearing trees. I hate it. Yep. Then you get the chest. You just feed it directly into a coal burner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just get rid.
Yep.
Get rid of all this wood. I don't want it. I don't want it. Get rid.
All right. Let's go ahead and end this broadcast.
Yeah.
Everyone have a, if there's anybody still on, it says there's still 2 people viewing.
Well, I have it open, so I'm one of them.
Oh, now it says 3. Everyone have a happy T-Hanksgiving, rest of T-Hanksgiving.
Bum, bum,
and a happy bum, Thanksgiving.
Bum, 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 bum. Oh, that's New Year's.
I mean, it's kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
we are starting a new festive season, heading toward next T-Hanksgiving.
Next T-Hanksgiving. Ooh.
Man, I really hope we can do that one in person.
Yeah, I'm sure we will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'll be orgied out by then.
You'll need the recovery period.
Hundreds of orgies. Just nothing but hundreds and hundreds of orgies.
You'll need to bust back out that ball ice pack from...
Hundreds and hundreds of orgies. That's my new Facebook status. Hundreds and hundreds of orgies.
God willing. All right, man. Happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family. And have a good night, man. Yeah.